Well, you know, this year so far, we've been talking about how God has called us to be a very special kind of people. He's called us to freedom, and it's such a wonderful part of being a Christian. We've been focusing on Galatians, and we've really been kind of focusing on the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. So this morning we're going to start again, as always, with Galatians, the fifth chapter. We're going to start in verse 6, and then we'll drop down and read verses 13 and 14. In Christ Jesus, Paul says, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. But what really matters is faith that works through love. For you, brethren, were called to freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What a great thing it is that this freedom exists in Christ. It's not like the broken world that's around us. Sadly, we come to church this morning and we notice that somebody decided to vandalize the sign out in the parking lot again. It's just one of more of those reminders that we live in a really broken world. In Romans, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about what happens when people live and put Jesus out of their mind, when they don't want to have anything to do with God. You read in the first chapter all of the many, many, many examples of brokenness that exist in the world. But I want you to think a little bit this morning about something that he mentions in Romans, the first chapter at verse 31. He says, when you put God out of your life, you live like covenant breakers. You're familiar with that? I am, and I'm sure everybody is. People don't keep their promises anymore. People make promises that they really don't even intend to keep. They make promises that fail us. And because we live in this poor old broken world, before very long, we learn never rely on the promises that somebody makes. Because that's the only way that you can avoid disappointment. Politicians make promises. We don't expect politicians to keep their promises. Husbands make promises to their wives. And sadly, they don't intend to keep their promises. We make promises to our children. And you know, the really bad part about it is when we deal with our kids, that little guy, he's just the cutest little thing. Can you imagine making a promise to him and he's crushed because you don't keep your promise? I promised that my grandkids that I would go to their soccer game yesterday, and sadly, I broke that promise. I got tied up with so many things with Kim coming back home. Yes, I did have to clean the house. Had to wash all of the dishes. But we teach our kids, don't rely on promises. We tell our kids, if you don't get your chores done, no TV tonight. And then we let them watch TV anyway. Because they're just crushed when we tell them no TV tonight. They're like this little guy. And who could look at that little guy who now can't watch the Gonzaga basketball game and he's crushed. And we fall apart and we say, oh, you can watch it anyway. 30 minutes of screen time are up, no more screen time. Until the little guy like this says, but I'm almost winning. And we say, well, that's okay. You can finish the game. We teach our kids, don't rely on promises. That's really sad. God makes promises. But the difference between the promises that God makes and the promises that we make are stark. God makes promises that are just beyond what we can imagine. If you begin reading in the book of Genesis, you don't read very far in the story until you encounter the 12th chapter where God makes a fantastic promise to Abraham. In Genesis 12, beginning at verse 1, Jehovah said to Abraham, get out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now Abraham got up and left the place where he lived because God told him to. And he did that because God made a promise. It has three parts. I'll make you a great nation. I'll give you the land. And in your seed, all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, we know that God keeps his promises. Acts, the 7th chapter, when Stephen is being stoned and he recounts the history of Israel. It's the Jews that are stoning him to death because he's been preaching about Jesus. And Stephen says, as the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had vouchsafed to Abraham, the people grew and they multiplied, even though they were in slavery in Egypt. God kept his promise in spite of everything that everybody did to stop that promise from coming true. The 13th chapter, and at verse 23, again, in the book of Acts, the most important part of that promise, at least for me, the land part of the promise, yeah, okay. The great nation part of the promise, yeah, okay. But the one that I'm really concerned about, the one that I really think is important, is the coming of Jesus. Acts 13 at verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to the promise, brought unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. He promised us salvation. Peter began to preach on the first Pentecost after Jesus had been raised from the dead. And he tells the people that were listening to him, unto you is the promise, and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We can be saved. And that includes me. That land promise and the nation promise, that was for Israel. That I'm not a Jew. That's not a part of my promise. But this part of my promise really is. In Romans, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 14, the apostle says, if they that are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. The promise is made of none effect. This was a promise that came because of faith. It didn't have anything to do with nationality. Now, I'm glad that it didn't, because that would have excluded me. He says, law works wrath. Where there's no law, neither is there transgression. For this cause, this promise is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, not to that only that was a part of the Old Testament, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. God promised that he would send his Spirit. Galatians, the third chapter, verse 14. The Apostle Paul remembers that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What a great promise! Ephesians 1 at verse 13, in whom also you, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's a promise that God made just like the promise of salvation, just like the promise of the land and the great nation. In Acts, the 13th chapter, and this is really why we're here today, beginning at verse 32. We bring you good tidings of the promise made unto the fathers, that God hath fulfilled the same unto our children, in that he hath raised up Jesus. Now, there were a lot of people that tried to stop that promise from coming true. But God did it anyway. As it is written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. As concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he hath spoken on this wise, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. He said also in another psalm, thou wilt not give thy holy one to see corruption. David, after he'd heard, or after he had in his own generation served the counsel of God, fell asleep. He died. He was laid to his fathers. And he saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, brethren, that through this man is proclaimed unto you remission of sins. Jesus was raised from the dead. God said he was going to do it. Jesus said, 3 days, and I'll raise this body back up. And he did it. He kept his promise. And that means that we get to have eternal life. 1 John 2, verse 25. This is the promise that he promised us, even eternal life. Well, what's the difference between God's promise and so many of the promises that we're familiar with that didn't get kept? People who crossed their fingers when they made the promise. Well, the first thing that you have to acknowledge is God can't lie. It is so contrary to his nature that he can't do it. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, at verse 13, the writer says, when God made a promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I'll bless thee and multiply, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Thus, having patiently endured, Abraham obtained the promise. Men swear by the greater, and in every dispute of theirs, their oath is final for confirmation, wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement who fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. a hope both sure and steadfast, entering into that which is beyond the veil. God can't lie. When he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And there's sometimes, even when we didn't cross our fingers when we made the promise, we just fail. We promised something and we intended to deliver it and we tried to deliver it. But we don't have the wherewithal to deliver it. Praise be to God. He has the wherewithal. He has the ability. And he will not forget it. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 4, Peter writes to people who were looking at the things that were going on around them, and they were kind of concluding maybe God made the promise that he was going to fix all of this, and he forgot. Maybe he just forgot the promise. 2 Peter 3 at verse 4. Some people say, where's the promise of his coming? From the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is God's promise that all men are going to be raised? I know what death looks like. I can go to the cemetery here in Eugene and I can see the graves of countless men and women who have not been raised. And you know, that makes some sense. It does cause us to wonder. But Peter explains, this they willfully forget, that there were heavens from old and an earth completed out of water in the midst of water by the word of God. By which means the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. They forgot. God said, I'm going to bring a flood. And he brought a flood. The heavens and earth that are now, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Forget not this one thing, beloved. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We live in a broken world, and God said, I'm going to make it right. And thankfully, he gives us time to acknowledge his promise. Romans 4, and at verse 20, we begin to see something else. We begin to see how important it is that knowing this, I can move away from doubt. Romans 4, at verse 20, looking to the promise of God, Abraham wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. Abraham didn't even have a son. And God said, I'll make you a great nation. In your seed, all families of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham didn't doubt. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, at verse 12. At one time, we were separated from Christ. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But because God made a promise, I don't have to doubt. I can be a citizen in his kingdom. No questions asked. And I get to be freed from being afraid of death. Because I understand life 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 6. Paul reflects on his life. And I'd like to be able to say this just like Paul did. I'm ready to be offered. The time of our departure has come. I've fought the fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. I'm not afraid of death. I don't have to be anymore. Because God made a promise. So what does that mean? All of this is true. What does it really mean? It means that I have to patiently endure. I have to wait patiently in this broken world for the time when God keeps his promise. Hebrews 6. Hebrews is a wonderful chapter about Hebrews is a wonderful book about believing in God. In chapter 6 at verse 15, it says, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This notion of patience is tough. In Hebrews 10 at verse 36, he says, you have need of patience that having done the will of God, you will receive the promise. That's hard. But I can do it. Hebrews 4 at verse 1. The writer says that if I patiently wait, if I know that God keeps his promises, that means that I always want to live the kind of life that's demanded by that promise. Hebrews 4 at verse 1, he says, let us fear therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to have come short of it. So yes, I want to live in a certain way because I believe the promise. Just like my wife made a promise to me on the day that we got married, and I have to live worthy of the promise that I made to her. That's not why she made the promise to me. I didn't earn the promises that she made to me. But I do live according to the promise that I made to her. And we need to avoid being taken in by people that make empty promises. Look carefully at what people say. You know, we have a healthy dose of skepticism about the promises that people make and whether they're going to keep them or not. Now, that skepticism doesn't have to apply to God. We've already seen what God does. But when somebody else makes a promise to you, treat it carefully. This is the way the apostle Peter described what some people say, even in religion. He says, they promise them liberty while they themselves are bondservants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, the same is he also brought into bondage. Listen carefully to the promises that people make. And take the promises that have been made seriously. Romans 15 at verse 4. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter at verse 4, and if you know me, you know I'm a big fan of Ecclesiastes. Wise man said a lot of things that were really important. He said, when you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. He has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. Better it is that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Make a promise to God and then keep it. What a great thing it is to be able to rely on promises. And what a sad thing it is to have to live in a broken world where people promise and you can't rely on it. I don't want to be there. I want to get out of this broken world. I don't want to live in a world where people deface signs. I don't want to live in a world where people break windows. I want to live in a world where God keeps his promises. I know you do too. Put on Christ. Be one of his. Make a promise to God. And then keep that promise. God has told you he'll give you eternal life. And that's what we all want. So if you want to put on Jesus in baptism, we'll help you do that. If you fail to keep your promises, it's not over. God will let you return. You know, Peter said, I'll never deny you. And what happened? Peter fell apart. He didn't keep his promise like he had said. But when Jesus wanted to meet with his apostles, he said, get everybody together, and Peter, make sure he's there too, because I have something to say to you. Even when we fail, God lets us return. Even when we don't live the kind of life that's worthy of the promises that we make. What a great blessing that is.